Join me in prayer as we ask God to enlighten our reading, our speaking, our listening, and then, of course, application. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we open your word, we want to do more than simply read or hear words on a page or a screen. We want to understand what it is that you say to us and why that would be important and what it means, not just theologically, not just grammatically, but what it means for us, who we are, where we are in our walk in life. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would light the path. Also, obviously, visually, with two hands reaching and at times with something in between. Now, this morning, as we look at being known by God, our clasping is a sign of what God says and what that means for our relationship with God. But I want to start by talking about a little something different. We've had a few babies born in 93. And this morning, we are in the last of our specific four messages that follow the theme of September, growth in knowing God and what that means. We've looked at knowing God, we've looked at knowing God's word and knowing God in prayer, and now we look at being known by God. Psalm 139, hear the word of the Lord. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Into verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of the Lord. The verse with which we started our theme 3 weeks ago comes from John 17, verse 3, where Jesus says this, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And the visuals that we've had guiding us also, obviously visually, with two hands reaching and at times with something in between. Now this morning, as we look at being known by God, our clasping is a sign of what God says and what that means for our relationship with God. But I want to start by talking about a little something different. We've had a few babies born in our congregation the last year, and the newest one, as represented by the rose, just born this past week. And much less often, but there have been times in our congregation, we've also known births and had births where there were twins, and our family has had that too. And one of the challenges for those of us who aren't the parents of identical twins is to not only remember the names, but to put the right names with the right face. And we know that's important. Your name is a part of your identity. And if someone gets it wrong, it can, well, maybe not even rightly so, but it can feel like it makes you a little less. That you weren't memorable enough to be etched so clearly in someone's mind, they know your name right away. I had to chuckle when I read some years ago a short article with a picture of how one mom in China helped people, including the father, keep the identity of their identical quadruplets in mind. And this is how she did it. Now, on the one hand, you got to admit it's a creative way to help your four identical quads have an identity, especially when, as the mom explained, the dad would end up disciplining number two for something number three did because he would get them confused. Then I guess something like this can help. But none of us want to be reduced to a number. We want to be seen. We want to be known for who we are. And interestingly, as the mom pointed out, even these four children rebelled a little by making sure they did not sit in the order that would come naturally. God says that as he sees us, we are not just a number. As we heard in our opening of worship, God tells us in Isaiah that he has engraved his people on the palm of his hand. But God says a whole lot more about that and what that means. And after three Sundays of looking at growing in knowing God, we stand back to recognize that the God who calls us to know him tells us that long before we were born, he knew far more about us. Well, the psalm, as we read it, tells us that God is the one who is the creator, the giver of new life. But we have to note the way in which it's written there. God knit us together already in the womb, the psalmist says, wove us together in the depths of the earth. God is doing handiwork in the picture of the psalmist. In fact, the Hebrew word used here is the word that you find elsewhere in the Old Testament that used specifically for the art of weaving or embroidery, where you're using multiple colors to create a pattern. A picture of God as a divine embroiderer. So when you consider a pregnancy, you know from the Bible that it's not simply something physical under construction. It's God who is doing some embroidery work. And that means that God was involved in my life and in the lives of my children long before we were born. And the psalmist goes on. God sets the time for each child to be born. I mean, you walk through a hospital nursery for premature babies, a neonatal unit, and you can understand how significant every stage of development is. Of fetal development before the tiny child can safely be born. A baby is able to breathe only when the lungs can exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide in the blood. She needs the gagging reflex before she can suck. Every little development part of a project that God is working on, embroidering. And what's true for a baby in all its newness or cuteness is also true for you and for me, even as we age. The truth is that God is the one who wove me, who wove you together. And even though life and sin and age have their effects, and even though in a fallen world we know that there can be birth with we can be born with and live with challenges and limitations and damage that's been a part of our bodies or our minds compared to what God had intended and would desire, that doesn't change the fact that the colors that make me me And you are part of God's handiwork. So when we celebrate the birth of a child, or the birthday of a senior, as we see again this week, we are reminded that it's about what God is crafting. We all are fearfully and wonderfully made, and my very existence points to a God who wove me together with the colors and the patterns that make me me. We also read in Psalm 139 these words. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Now, when you first read that, at least when I read that, the phrasing may seem a little bit obvious. God, who is busy weaving us, of course, knows our frame and sees our unformed body. But what the psalmist means here is not simply that God is aware of me and the shape he has made me. No, to be able to see someone in their hidden places, in their secret places, is to know who they really are and what makes them tick. It points back to the beginning of the psalm. The God who has made me also sees and knows me deeply. Because he's the God who's searched me, who knows when I rise and when I sit, who perceives my thoughts from afar and is familiar with all my ways, who knows the words I'm going to say before I say them, who has laid his hand on me. God knows me, and I can't get away from that when I belong to this God as his child. And that's not just about me. God knows you too. God knows your heart. God knows your hidden sins. God knows the secrets of whatever may be happening at work or at home. Our gifts, our abilities, our thoughts and fears and worries, and even when for ourselves, how our minds work, why we react the way we do to certain things, why we get stuck in some of the stuff we get stuck in, when we can't figure that out for ourselves, God knows who we are. And in Jesus Christ, God calls us to belong, to grasp it back. And we may try all our life to get away or ignore it, but eventually one day we will stand before God. And God tells us his desire is that long before then, now, he desires that we live with him in Christ. And in that to know that we are not alone. But there's one more thing that the psalmist points to. He writes this: all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know what that means? It means that my days are not simply my own. It means that the future is not simply for us to try to grab hold of and do the best we can. It means that God has plans for us. And as I get older and have had to face different things, as you have and we all do, face things about health or symptoms that need investigation and a body that doesn't always do what we tell it to do the way it used to, that we can wrestle with this because of some of the uncertainty that comes with it. And yet at the same time, I find for myself, I hold on to this more and more tightly. That not only I, but my ways are not simply my own. And it's a powerful, beautiful promise. Our days when we belong to God are not simply random and totally up to us to figure out. God is involved and cares deeply about all that because our embroiderer has plans for each of us who belong to him. In fact, you read of that in other places in Scripture, that God will not give his children anything more than they can bear. That God has promised that he will work all things out for the good for those who love him in Christ. And that's why we confess, as I already mentioned today, and we do more often, that we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to a faithful Savior. Our lives and our times are in God's hands, the psalmist says. God created us. God knows us. God ordains our days. And the wonder of it is this, that this God who knows us, who has engraved us on the palm of his hands, and who knows our weakness and our secrets and inadequacies, is the God who also says this, what we noted 3 weeks ago, if you were here, from Acts 17. God marked out people's appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And interesting to note on a day like today that elders and deacons are here to help us grow in what that means, together with fellowship group coordinators and helping us to be a growing community. And opportunities like Bible study groups or men's ministry that you find in the bulletin or inquirers or membership classes and the like are there for that kind of thing to happen. Ways to not simply know about, but to reach out to the one who has reached out for us. To the one who has said that you are a reason in his life. When I worked in the hospitals in Detroit as a chaplain intern, I met Sheila. I don't think I've told you about Sheila before, though some of you know if you've been in my office and asked. Sheila was on the cancer floor, 26 years old. The first time I met her, she had just lost her hope for health. She had cancer. And it hadn't gone away, it came back. But she received her treatment and things looked better and she went home. The next time I saw her, it was because the cancer had worsened and she came in to have her left arm and shoulder removed. And she went through the treatment again and then she went home. But she came back. This time for the last time. And she, as we talked about it, we both sensed that. Sheila believed in God and in Jesus Christ as her Savior, though her faith was very young, and we had many conversations about that. And now she was facing death. And strikingly, it happened during the time that Marnie and I were expecting our first child. And Sheila, who knew that, had come to the hospital that last time with a gift ready to give when our child was born. It was a little plaque that hangs on the wall in my office here. And in the context of her dying, she gave this plaque when our first child was born that says, "A child is God's opinion that the world must go on." A child is God's opinion that the world must go on. And over the years, as I've reflected, not just on the emotion of that gift, but on how that connects to these verses in Psalm 139, it strikes a chord. Something that she understood experientially better than I did at the time, given her journey. And you think that through. A couple of weeks ago, we had a funeral service, a celebration of life. And we know there are going to be more funerals. This past week, as we've noted a couple of times, we had a birth, and there will be more births. And every time a child is born, we are reminded that the world goes on because God is busy weaving, because God knows his people, and because God has ordained the days that we have for each one of us and for you. God's opinion that the Church of Jesus Christ must go on, evidence that God is still with his people. And we can't forget that. And when we understand that, then we can pray the prayer, the deep prayer that has to do with all of our lives and all of who we are with which the psalm ends. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, and help me pursue you, who is eternal life. The word of the Lord. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we admit that there are times that we wish we could hide some things from you, and maybe hope they go away, or simply avoid thought about them. But you know us deeply. You have made us and set the colors, as it were, of who we are. And you have ordained our days before they came to be. And there is much that we don't understand about that, but knowing that in Christ you are Heavenly Father makes all the difference. Thank you that in Christ we belong to you. And we make that our confession. For those of us, Lord, for whom that's not a clear thing or a sure thing, we pray that you work to understand what it means. You, the embroiderer of our lives. And in the end, as we make this claim and pray this prayer, we do ask that you will guide us, that you lead us in knowing you, in loving you, in your knowing us, and in living as your people individually, within our families, and as a community of faith together. We pray for the elders and the deacons and the work that they do in giving leadership to this, not simply to know some things about you, but to know you as our Father in heaven. As we sing the words of this psalm, we ask that you hear our confession and reflection for Jesus' sake. Amen.